Welcome on into the Saints Hour. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long hanging out with you, talking all things black and gold. And the season is over, folks.
Sure
and
is.
Unfortunately, the black and gold will not be a part of the postseason for a fourth straight year. There were plenty of lows, but some highs in this wild season for the Saints, and a lot of questions going into next year now. We'll get into plenty of talk about the head coaching search and what lies ahead for this franchise. Joining us, the Saints Hour, will have Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, will stop by. Also, Matthew Parris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, breaking down this whole head coaching search primer that he put out. We'll get into it with him. And overall, Jeff, you just keep seeing these number of names seem to be growing for the Saints interested in at least getting interviews with.
Yeah, you know, and first things first, I do want to say, like, you know, we're going to have all these conversations about Riz and whether you should continue on this track of going back to the well with the Sean Payton guys and whatever. I do want to say, like, however you land in the coaching search, I think we should all take a moment and appreciate, like, this was a ship on fire going into week 10.
Right.
When Darren Rizzi took over this team, they had lost 7 consecutive games. The train was off the tracks. And, you know, I think we can lose perspective after how, okay, the final 3 games, yeah, they were losses. Yeah, you should have beat the Raiders. You should have done whatever. I think we should all appreciate the job that he actually did in those 8. That's a long time to be an interim coach, and the best you can hope for. The goal is not to win your 8 remaining games. The goal is to make sure the building doesn't collapse over the final 8 games, to make sure the star players in the locker room do not revolt, do not ask for trades because it's going so badly. And not only did that not happen, like, everyone rallied around the guy. Alvin Kamara was more engaged than he's ever been. I don't know, like we can have the conversation about whether he should be the next head coach, whether he can do whatever. I do think we should appreciate the job that he did as the interim because, I don't know, I was impressed. And you have veteran players saying, hey, this guy is head coach material. It can happen for you. We haven't had to deal with interim coaching scenarios in New Orleans all that much, right? Like, it's not something that, like, some teams deal with this all the time. Sometimes it goes better than others. Sometimes you have Antonio Pierce, who the team basically all says, hey, give him the job or we quit. You know, and then you saw he got fired today. I don't know. I think we should all appreciate the job that Rizzi did, regardless of what happens from here, because I don't know. I was impressed with it.
You mentioned Alvin Kamara. He was in the locker room the other day cleaning out his stuff, talking to the media about everything Saints, his injury, and more. He was asked his thoughts on Coach Darren Rizzi's time as head coach for this black and gold bunch.
The thing about this business, you're measured by wins and losses. And, you know, Rizzi obviously came in at a time where we needed a jolt, and he gave that to us, right? But, you know, I think everybody, for the most part, nobody cares about the word interim. They like, well, they went 5-12, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you lose a couple games, and it's like, oh, well, we need a new coach, you know? But internally, from what I've seen, like, I know Rizzi is more than capable. He's not scared to make change. He's not scared to hold people accountable. He holds himself accountable. I mean, he's just a genuine dude, you know what I'm saying? And I think personally he has what it takes to be a head coach in this league. Now, like I said, there's conversations that got to be had upstairs. There's evaluations that need to be done. The process is still going to be the process. I'm going to interview coaches and see what's going on. But, you know, shoot, if I had to throw a vote in the hat, like, I'm with Rizzi, you know, but that don't necessarily mean the most because, like we said again, it might be things that, you know, upstairs they have conversations and they think they need, and it might not be Rizzi or it might not be another candidate, you know. So that's why I don't like to go too far into that, because I want to, you know, want to make sure, even talk to Rizzi, like, and see what he thinks and see what he needs or he wants, because this is a business where, you know, we all looking for the same results, so we got to help each other. And, you know, I think the past 3 years it's been a lot of disconnect on the teamwork thing, you know, from upstairs and in here. So we just got to get on. Everybody got to get on the same page and figure it out.
You heard Alvin there talking about the front office and the higher ups needing to make a decision. Well, Kamara was also asked, does he want to be part of that process in the head coaching hire?
When you say that, I kind of see, like, sitting in a meeting formally, like, like with a notepad, and that's not my jam. That ain't my approach. I think y'all kind of see how I move around and you know how I communicate and how I interact with people. So, mine is a little bit more informal, a little bit more like, you know, what's up, like. So I do in some sort of capacity, and you know I think that's another thing, like just transparently, like Nikki, how involved can I be, or how involved do you want me to be? And none of it is taken personally. Like if it's like, well, nah, we don't need you in there. All right, that's cool. Like y'all let me know if y'all need me. I'll be somewhere, maybe in Africa, maybe in Portugal, maybe in Spain. I don't know, but y'all let me know and I'm available. So we'll see.
Keeping up with Alvin Kamara on Instagram, I'm sure will be something this offseason. Sounds like he's ready to have some fun.
Yeah, sometimes he goes snowboarding. Sometimes he goes to Portugal. I don't know. But, you know, I do think that, you know, as you talk about this, like Rizzi's going to be a legitimate candidate. It's going to be a tough sell because, you know, this is a change election. That's what I've been putting in. And Rizzi is not a change candidate, or at least he doesn't appear that way. But he was very quick to say, like, things need to change. Like, he's not going up there and saying, like, we can get this done the way things are. He's saying things need to change. But he's also saying, I can be the guy that makes those changes. And I think that's important, as you figure it out. It's like, it's not all just like, tear it all out by the root. Sometimes it's like, okay, you need to figure out what the problems are and fix the problems. Otherwise, that new tree you plant, it's going to grow the same crooked way this one did. Like, why did it grow that way is the question you need to answer. And that's the important thing to figure out in this coaching search, not just anything different.
We're taking a break here on the Saints Hour. Stay tuned. We'll get into some more sound of Alvin Kamara. Also got Derek Carr in the mix as well. Cajun Cannon coming up. Also Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter. Stick around here on the Saints Hour. Coming right back on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Saints Hour, Steve Geller along with sideline reporter Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long keeping us all in line at Master Control. Getting back into some of the sound we were just talking about with Alvin Kamara, who addressed the media as the Saints were cleaning out their lockers at the end of the season, spoke about Coach Rizzi, wanted to be part of the head coaching process, the head coaching hire process. Well, Alvin Kamara was saying, too, that, you know, he still sees a lot of good still with this team despite the record that they had this year.
There's a lot of good stuff going on around here, man. It's this city and me being the prime example. Like, I could have, you know, this whole year I could have been like, you know what, I don't want to play here. I'm going to just play the season, and then after the season, I'll figure out. Like, I could have, you know, kind of forced my way out, but I know what's in the cloth here. I know what it feels like to be on top out here. I mean, we had a good stretch of, you know, great teams and, you know, good feelings around here. So I know that essence isn't lost. You know, we just kind of – it's a little dark, and we got to find a path to get back to that, you know, to get back on track. So I'll tell the fan, like, you know, try to step outside of taking it personal, like, you know, well, oh, they don't care about us because they keep letting this happen. Or, man, it's a lot that goes into this. It's a $1 billion organization. It's a $1 billion league that we playing in. There's a lot of components that go into, you know, putting the product out. And even like as simple as, you know, like training room, weight room, you know, like equipment set, like there's so many moving parts, and you know, a lot of these parts are moving independently towards a common goal, right? So for me, I think just in my life, everything is about communication. So, you know, something that, you know, and I'm not saying this is a thing, but something that's going on in the training room, you know, the weight room is kind of they coexist in a way, but you know they might be missing on something. So coming together and just getting understanding on something small might make all the difference. Or something upstairs with, you know, Mickey or you know, even Miss B or something, like, you know, if it's something that they need from me and I wasn't understanding that, and you know, they tell me and I'm like, oh dang, that's all you needed, and you know, boom, right there you get some synergy and you fix some things that may have been a problem hypothetically. So just bear with us.
Just bear with us. That's what Alvin Kamara's message is for Who Dats.
Yeah, and you know, it's a weird situation. And we got a text here saying, how can you even consider saying, oh, Rizzi could be an option? I don't know. Like, there's this idea that anything different is going to be better than everything that's happened. And I'm just telling you, like, you know, that's not always the case. Like, you have to fix problems. You can't just delete everything and start from scratch every time it doesn't work. You have to figure out why it didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's what drives me nuts. It's like the end-all, be-all can't be blow it up, start from scratch, fire everyone in the building, and hire everybody new. It's like, what do you know about those people? It doesn't matter. They can be literally anyone, as long as it's not the people who are here right now. And it's like, I get why you say that. It's a much more cathartic idea than saying, well, we don't know exactly what the answers are, but we're going to try to figure them out. Nah, we don't need that. We don't need your thought and your process. We just want to fire everybody. And here's the thing. I'm not saying Rizzi should be the next coach, but I am saying that you should hear him out because I think he did a pretty good job in the interim role.
The New York Jets are interested, that's for sure.
The New York Jets are interested. and you hear Alvin, you hear Cam Jordan, you hear all of these players saying like, hey, I think he's a head coach, right? You have a lot of Chiefs players in that locker room, right? They know what a championship organization looks like.
True that.
So when they say like, this looks a lot like what I saw in Kansas City, you take that seriously. Again, I'm not saying that Darren Rizzi should be the next coach, but this idea that he should be ruled out because he has any sort of connection with the organization as it exists, I think that's silly. Now, I like Aaron Glenn. I like a lot of these candidates they're going to interview. It sounds like, you know, Mike Vrabel's going to be in that list. You can't do in-person interviews with anyone who's under contract until January 20th. So when we'll talk more about that with Matt Paris. But, like, again, this idea, it just drives me nuts. It's like this dumbed-down idea of, like, oh, if we fire everybody and
that
just,
fixes it all.
Everything's better. Like, well, yeah, go look at the Panthers. Go look at the Giants. Go look at the Jets. Go look at a lot of these teams that do that constantly. Those are not the model franchises. You want to model yourself after the Jaguars? You want to model yourself after the Raiders?
What kind of mess are the Titans in right now, too?
Exactly. That's my point. It's like, okay, so what teams would you want to model yourself after? I don't know. The Steelers are pretty good. What do they do? Well, they've had one head coach for like 20 years. Oh, what do the Ravens do, right? You know, what are these kind of perennially quality franchises doing, and how do you mimic that? So we'll see. It's going to be a long process. The Saints aren't going to shortchange anything here. But I hate this whole, like, blow it up. We'll be fine. As long as you blow it up, doesn't matter what happens from there. Just get rid of everybody. I don't know. It drives me nuts. I get worked up about it.
More Saints talk coming up. The Saints Hour rolls on. Coming back with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, right after this. So stay tuned here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Saints Hour. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long as well. Happy to welcome in now Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. Bobby, how you doing today?
Doing good. A little cold, but not cold compared to the rest of the country. And then, so I don't know, but to us, this is like, oh, it's freezing. Well, it is freezing. You got to take your plants in, take all your animals and all
that.
Feels
like Green Bay out there.
Yeah. Wrap your pipes, do all that. You know, Jeff, you know what's crazy? I was always fortunate. You know, I played in actually Lambeau Field once and in Milwaukee County Stadium twice, but always played like in, man, it was a beautiful fall day, football weather. It was like in the high 50s or something. So I never played in the frozen tundra. The only cold games was in Buffalo and up in Boston where I actually dealing with – but it had snowed overnight, but it never snowed during the game, so I didn't have to deal with those inclement conditions.
What's going to be heating up here, though, Cajun Cannon, definitely the head coaching search for the New Orleans Saints. A bunch of names have been interested already, getting interviews with this team. And I know you mentioned Vrabel, definitely one of your top choices, but also, if not him, an offensive-minded coach. Any of the names that have been linked with the Saints have resonated with you right now?
Well, the more I look at it, I don't think we mean the bottom of the totem pole. We're not going to be able to pick who we want because they might pick another team. I just look at the salary cap. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You think, like, is that a misprint when you look at all the teams that are dealing with the salary cap? And Jeff and Steve, I know y'all on top of that. When I was looking, you know where I'd want to go coach is the damn Patriots. They got a young quarterback in Drake May, and the projected cap space, $131 million. What are we? We're like minus $78.5 million. And I'm looking at everybody else on the plus side. The Bears, okay, can you develop Caleb Williams? Their cap space is $81.5 million. No, I'm looking at all the teams, and even like the Jets, they have $30.5 million. We're the only one in the negative. So why, if you're a young, up-and-coming coach, and we really don't know the future of the quarterback position because I think Derek Carr is short-term. Well, why are the Saints attractive? I'm just being objective. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not trying to say, we're going to be able to get the coach we want. Okay, we're familiar with Aaron Glenn. But you know who else is familiar with Aaron Glenn? It's the Jets.
I'll give you one reason. I'll give you one reason the Saints can be attractive, Bobby. You want to hear it?
Okay, tell me. Please tell me. I'm discouraged right now.
Because whatever coach walks in here, you can look him in the face and say, things don't have to go perfectly in year one, but we're not going to fire you into the sun like some of these other teams seem to be way too happy to do. I mean, like, yeah, you can go coach the Patriots. What happens if it doesn't go well? They're going to fire you after winning?
They wouldn't fire Vrabel. Gerard Mayo and Antonio with the Raiders, those type coaches, they would fire. You know, it's like their first rodeo. But I think, Vrabel, you always try and embrace and Robert Kraft is, the Patriots way. Well, the Patriots way was Belichick and Tom Brady.
Right.
That's why we got to forget Sean Payton and Drew Brees ain't coming back. That's why the bottom line is you have to win. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. You say, look at the stability of the Steelers. In 6 years, they've only had three coaches. Okay, but there's a lot of different ways. You just have to win. Look at the stability of the Ravens ever since they came over from Cleveland. If I lived in Cleveland my whole life, well, that's our team. That's really the Cleveland Browns. They moved up to Baltimore. But the point being that, I think the more I think about it, because now some fans might get excited, some might not. It might be a public relations hit. Is John Gruden. Because John Gruden's familiar with the team. He's been around the team. He's coached Derek Carr. I'm not saying give him a 5-year deal, whatever. It might be a 2-3-year deal, whatever. But John Gruden, he's an offensive coach, familiar with Derek Carr, and familiar with the Saints. So Mickey and all have worked with him. So and he's won a Super Bowl. I like Coach McCarthy with Dallas. All I know is he won the Super Bowl. He was offensive coordinator for the Saints for 5 years now. What did they win? But he also won a Super Bowl. So I don't know. You might want a young up-and-coming coach, but if a young up-and-coming coach like Ben Johnson, like the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, well, he may have other options besides the Saints. So let's say, am I going to go and have an opportunity to coach Caleb Williams maybe and the Bears versus the Saints? And the same thing with Mark May and the Patriots. That's why I think the Patriots and the Bears are attractive. Especially the Patriots, but if their GM does the right thing and how you can turn things around and get a good mixture and you hit on the draft and you get the right free agents coming in, the Patriots can go from the outhouse to the penthouse fast, I think, is where they're sitting. Because I don't know, I look at their quarterback, and Jeff, I don't know if you and Steve are a fan of him, but I'm a fan of Drake May. I think he's proven he's kind of been under the radar because when you think about it, Jaden Daniels has been unbelievable. You know what he's done with Washington. But you look at who's young, you don't have to be a rookie, but the young rookie stable quarterbacks, Drake May is way more stable than Caleb Williams right now. And then you look at the Prince. How about the Prince in Jacksonville? You got to pay that cat $55 million. What has he done? He looks pretty.
He does look pretty.
I don't know, but what has he really done with Jacksonville? So I kind of look at who's attractive, who's the quarterback, and that's why the Saints, who might have to still, and that might not be instant fix, and we might have to weather the storm, and it might be something we have to think as who that nation fans, Saints fans, the instant drive-through, that's why it was invented. We want it now. It might not be all of a sudden that the Saints, we're doubling our win total. Next year, we're going to go 10-7. We won only 5 games, but we're going to win 10 next year. I think that'd be an unbelievable accomplishment. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what it takes to be in the postseason. Think about this. The Seattle Seahawks, I feel good if I'm a fan of theirs, if you're objective. They won 10 games and didn't make the playoffs. Every team that made the playoffs have to win double digits. Now, if you're in a sorry division, maybe AFC South, NFC South, 9-8, could get you there, depending on the particular season. They look, Tampa Bay has to win 10 games. So to me, you got to give the fans hope. Everybody would want to win. Yeah, go 13-4, 14-3, or 12-5, whatever. To me, if you get the double-digit wins, it's hard in the NFL. And if you can get that, you give the fans hope. I just don't know if we're quickly going to turn that around. And all of a sudden, we haven't made the playoffs four straight seasons. Well, I think after next year, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I'm trying to be realistic. I think it might be five seasons because I just don't see us jumping from where we at, and the youth of our, the lack of youth on our team. We got to hit on more than one draft to go from 5 to 10 wins. I just don't see that happening next year. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to. Yeah, I want my opinions. That's what I think.
No, I hear you. There's one thing I do want your take on too, and it came up over the last couple of days. And I think your kind of history of, you know, you held out for a bigger contract, and you know,
a whole year. Jeff, think about this. I held out a whole year. How many players?
That's why I want to hear what you say, because you know something that came up with Derek Carr, and there's going to be a lot of conversations about Derek Carr, whether the Saints should try to move on from him, take the cap hit, whatever. But he was asked, you know, ESPN's Cat Terrell asked him kind of about the contract, and you know, he said, "Hey, I'm not going to take a pay cut." And a lot of people kind of freaked out about that, like, "I can't believe it." I mean, what, is he not a team guy? Is whatever? And it's like I look at that, I'm like, "Hey, if I don't know, maybe the bosses are listening. If the bosses came up to me and said, "Hey, Jeff, you know, we screwed up, but we need you to take, you know, we need you to drop your salary by this amount." I'm like,
that's not right.
Okay. Right. Like, is that his responsibility to make up? Like, they agreed to pay him. So I'm curious, where do you land on that? Because I don't think that's, I hear guys like, "I don't want to take a pay cut." Like, yeah,
but he's willing to restructure, he said.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious, what do you think about that situation?
I say honor the contract.
Right.
Okay. I mean, like, people don't realize, when I sat out in 1990, I didn't have a contract. I had a five-year contract, and I honored the contract. And I said, "This is my market value, Mr. Finks." He goes, "Oh, no, we're not going to pay you that because we own you. We can pay you whatever we want. You can't go nowhere." And I'm like, "What? That's un-American. I'm a capitalist." So anyway, that's the other thing. You had a hard-headed Cajun, hard-headed old-school general manager and all that. I can go off on I could do a whole hour show just on that. But anyway, no, Derek Carr... Yeah, players don't mind restructuring, but they still want their money. You know, they don't care if it comes in a salary or it comes in a signing bonus, whatever, because you might say, well, they'll never be in the real world, Derek Carr, when you made over $100 million, whatever. But that earning power, it is hard to ever be in that position again. So, no, I'm on Derek Carr's side with that. And if you'd really... players are for players. I can tell you that. If they say something else in public, they're full of crap. They're not telling the truth. And if you had a kid or that was you, you'd be like, "Hey, it's a two-way street. That's why you have contracts. For a team, you have a contract with a team. You got to honor that, and they have to honor what they were going to pay in the contract. And it's not guaranteed like baseball and basketball. So you got to get what you can." No, I'm on Derek Carr with that thing. You want to restructure like the Saints have always done, and you push it down the road. That's why we're in the bind that we are with the salary cap. But, you know, like, "Oh, look, all these other players have dealt with the Saints, and boy, they're such team players." No, they still got their money, but eventually the Saints are going to have to pay the piper.
Cajun Cannon, always appreciate the time. Thanks a bunch. I owe you a cigar, man.
You know what? You owe me a cigar. For what, Steve? I wish I had a cigar so I could celebrate with the Saints going to the playoffs, but that ain't happening. But there's going to be a lot of good football. I'm telling you, my dark horse, I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen with the Chargers and my buddy Jim Harbaugh. You know, I know Jim Harbaugh. I might tell you all that story. I know him when he was the quarterback at University of Michigan, and I was the quarterback with the Michigan Panthers in the USFL. And so what ended up happening is that we started winning, so the Detroit Lions didn't let us use their facilities anymore. They kicked us out. And so all of a sudden, Anthony Carter, the great receiver from University of Michigan, he calls Bo Schembechler, and he goes, "Oh, we can have to drive a half an hour away. We're going to drive to Ann Arbor," and we had practice at University of Michigan. That's where I met Jim and stuff, and he's been great. But he picked the right team. Jim Harbaugh could have went to a lot of teams. Why did he choose the Chargers? Justin Herbert in the story right there.
Appreciate you, Cajun Cannon. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to y'all later. Who dat?
Thanks, Bob.
Who dat? We are taking a break here on the Saints Hour. Be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after this. Welcome back into the Saints Hour. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak talking all things black and gold with you. We just heard from the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert getting more into our action now with Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate, Matthew Paris. Matthew, how's it been going? I know it's been very busy days going on right now.
Yeah, it's been quite the it's been quite the few days, but it's just getting started, honestly.
I mean, come on, it can't be weirder than Washington. Let's be real.
Yeah, no, it's, I've been through a coaching search a time or two, but here we are again.
You know, so Matt, I know you kind of broke down. Okay, what's the process for this coaching search? There's a lot of, you know, Rizzi talked about it yesterday. The rules just keep kind of getting stacked on top of each other every year. But what is kind of the kind of bullet points that Saints fans should be aware of as they kind of try to figure out, okay, what's the timeline for this coaching search? When can teams start doing virtual interviews versus in-person interviews, playoff coaches, lateral moves, stuff like that? Like, what should people be aware of?
Well, it really depends on what type of coach the Saints want to interview. Guys like Mike Vrabel, who don't have a contract, they can start speaking to him now. For teams out of the playoffs who are still on a contract, like Anthony Weaver, they can start interviewing as soon as Wednesday. Aaron Glenn, they can start interviewing Friday. But these are all virtual interviews, really until January 20th. After the divisional round, that's when things will really start to pick up. So the next few weeks here are going to kind of be quiet. Teams are going to start interviewing these guys virtually, get to know each other. But the in-person visits and stuff can't happen until at least the 20th. So it's going to be a little bit if you're hoping for the Saints to make a coaching hire sooner than later.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of names already in the mix already that they're interested in having interviews with. Curious your opinion on a guy like John Gruden. Hasn't been brought into the mix yet, but I do know he did visit the team while they were in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, he would have some fans on the roster. I know Foster Moreau speaks fairly highly of him. Derek Carr really enjoyed playing for him. Personally, I think the comments that John Gruden made in those emails are pretty tough to get past if you're a team looking at him.
Yeah.
You have to account for all of that. Just kind of the stuff that caused him to resign in the first place from the Raiders. Because, I mean, the Raiders, after he stepped down, they made the playoffs that season. You know, he was walking away from an okay situation. It's not like things had gotten terrible there. So, I don't know. I think it would be like the Saints kind of just needed a clean break, something to start fresh. And while it would be fresh from a coaching standpoint, I think it comes with some baggage.
You know, one thing the Saints are going to have to figure out, and I think it's an interesting question, is, okay, what kind of head coach do you want? You kind of referenced this, but like, hey, so for so long you had all that success with Sean Payton. He was a play-calling offensive head coach. You tried to do the opposite with Dennis Allen, a play-calling defensive head coach. Didn't go particularly well. And then you kind of look in, you know, a lot of the teams that are having success. Another thing Rizzi talked about in his postseason interview is like, oh, you know, the CEO type head coach, where, you know, it's a guy who isn't calling plays but is kind of focusing on the bigger picture stuff, kind of game management stuff. You have Dan Campbell, you have John Harbaugh, guys like that. Jim Harbaugh is another example of that. What would you say if you had to look and say, okay, what would be the best case for the Saints? What does this Saints team need? Would you lean either way in that sense?
I don't think I would. I mean, I think the roster, if you look at it, like, there's really nothing about either side of the ball that screams, okay, they need an offensive coach to really take advantage of the talent here. Same with the defensive. I mean, generally, I think the offense is a little bit more compelling, but that's just not really where the Saints are at right now. I mean, the CEO leader type is really kind of, I think, in vogue right now. I think a lot of teams will look for that, but really, I think it kind of comes down to your group, what this group needs, and I actually think for the Saints specifically, that's probably more the CEO type, I would imagine. Someone who can really rally the troops and inspire them after the last couple of years.
I was kind of surprised. I got an email today with the odds breaking down, you know, the favorites to be the next head coach of the Saints. And at the top of the list in the odds was Joe Brady with the Buffalo Bills. And that one just took me by surprise. I figured it would be a guy like Aaron Glenn, since he has some ties to the Saints. I know Brady does as well. He wasn't here very long. But just curious, do you have a favorite of your own that you think that could be in the mix for this job in the end?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really intrigued by Aaron Glenn personally. I get the hesitation with connection to Peyton, but I really don't. I think that's a little bit overrated.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's, I mean, just watch what he did Sunday, coaching that unit against the Vikings. It was a really impressive performance, and I just think guys would respond to him. Now, I wasn't here covering the Saints when Aaron Glenn was here, so I don't really have much to go off of in terms of, you know, personal interaction with him. But I just think in terms of the resumes of guys out here, out there, and actually, I think I would rather have Aaron Glenn than Ben Johnson personally. That's kind of where I'm at, even if Ben Johnson wanted to come here.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, like you look at, hey, okay, Aaron Glenn, well, one of the feathers in his cap is you look at that Detroit Lions defense, and, you know, the only team that is probably more injured than the Saints, it feels like the Lions this year. And, like, the excuse for the Saints, like, oh, we couldn't make it happen with injuries. Well, they got all the injuries in the world. They're making it happen. And I don't know. I feel like just a culture guy is what you need for the Saints. And I'm just curious, like, you know, we talked a lot about Rizzi. You know, it sounds like he's going to be a legitimate candidate for this job. When you look at that and you look at the job he's done, how do you think it would resonate if they did go with Rizzi? Because that's my only issue with it is you want to make change, you want to be the change guy, but then you bring in a guy that you know so well.
Well, who am I in this scenario? Am I the players or am I just a fan? Like, I think the players would respond to it. They seem to really like him. They enjoyed playing under him. If I'm a fan of the Saints, which I'm not, but if I was, I think I would be a little bit disappointed given this was an opportunity for kind of a reset. I don't think, you know, he did some things last year that I thought were pretty refreshing for the group, but ultimately they were still 3-5. I think you just kind of need to turn the page a bit here. And I think a guy, even like Aaron Glenn, who has ties to the building, I still think that would represent a page turn.
Definitely appreciate the time, Matthew. Thanks so much. Make sure you check out all his work at NOLA.com, folks, especially as late as with the Saints head coaching search primer. Get you all ready for the madness about to ensue. And we'll see if, you know, the coming weeks we get a head coach before the Super Bowl kicks off in the Superdome. Thank you, Matthew, for the time.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. And as I mentioned, NOLA.com. Check out all the work there. We're taking a break here on the Saints Hour and be back with even more, getting into some Derek Carr sound when we get back on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Saints Hour. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long hanging out with you here. Just talked to Matthew Paris about the Saints head coaching search. And man, oh man, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, to say the least, with this, all the rumor mill, I guess, that's going to be swirling and buzzing around this black and gold bunch.
Yeah, no, Steve, you know, you ask a lot of questions. I'm going to ask you a question. What would you prefer in terms of head coach? Do you like the offensive head coach? Do you like the defensive head coach, CEO head coach, the vibes head coach, which is what I would call Dan Campbell? He's a vibes head coach, in my opinion.
Like, see, wait. I think like Aaron Glenn could be that vibes kind of guy too.
But he's still going to be the defensive guy.
Right.
So you could be a vibes guy, but he's still going to be in charge of one side of the ball, is my point. Like Dan Campbell's such a fascinating coach because it's like he's a tight ends coach. Like he's not like he's a special teams coordinator or whatever. It's kind of like, okay, we think he can be a head coach. We think he can lead this ship. But you know, he doesn't like stamp anything in particular, right?
Yeah.
It's just a unique situation. I don't know. Like I have a hard time with the defense because what's going to happen, like if you are as successful as anybody, and this is the issue with the CEO head coach too, is okay, you have a great team. You're just going to lose your coordinators year after year after year. Like one thing that's going to run into problems with Dan Campbell is, okay, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, they're gone.
Now what
do you find guys
have
again?
Have to restock, right?
You know, and Kyle Shanahan, for example, you know, he's been great about finding the next guy. Like someone takes D'Amico Ryans, he finds the next guy. But what happens when you don't find that next guy and suddenly you're a vibes coach without the coordinators? And that's when things get ugly. And I think that's why, like, over the course of time, that setup is harder to sustain than an offensive head coach who, you know, defensive coordinators aren't going to be as in vogue as the new offensive mind. Oh, Bobby Slowick and Ben Johnson and all these guys, right? Cliff Kingsbury. People are talking about Cliff Kingsbury again as if that time in Arizona never happened just because he's got this great offense.
Yeah, so, I've heard him tied with the Chicago Bears even. I don't think they've requested an interview with him, though.
Yeah, I mean, remember in week two when Clint Kubiak was going to be the hottest coaching name in the NFL? Like, that's really all it takes is one good year as an offense coordinator. I think that's why over time the defensive head coach is hard to sustain.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to rebuild that offense year after year after year.
That's a good point there. But I like Aaron Glenn for the job and thinking that you could keep a guy like Clint Kubiak around in the mix.
Yeah, well, I think that's why, you know, if you go with a defensive head coach, it's a lot more likely that you end up with Clint back. And if you end up with Clint back, you probably end up with Derek Carr back. And we're going to talk more about Derek Carr. But like Todd Bowles is a good example of, hey, okay, well, you had Dave Canales. That was great. He was so good. He got hired for a head coaching job. He brought in Liam Cohen. He's good. Now
everyone's talking about him, right?
Everyone's talking about Liam Cohen. Like, so, okay, who do you, you know, you got to keep hitting after, get hit after hit after hit after hit. But what you're eventually going to miss. And that's where the struggle is.
You mentioned Derek Carr. He spoke in the locker room, too. Wasn't available towards the end of the year dealing with that injured non-throwing hand. He was asked, how is that recovery coming for him?
I'm probably still a little bit away from getting cleared from all of that stuff. But I did everything I could to try and be out there and appreciative to the organization and, you know, to Coach Riz, you know, for, you know, giving me that chance. Because I think it's always important to my teammates. For me to do everything as the quarterback, as captain, as a leader, to do everything you can to be out there for them. And so they saw me here every day trying to, you know, shoot it up and trying to do all these different kind of things. It didn't come down to certain things. It came down to just I couldn't hold a football, you know. And it's kind of important to do. Ended up not working out, but I'm very appreciative of them giving me every opportunity to try and be out there till the last second.
Derek, how tough was that for you not to be able to play toward the end?
It sucked. This is the most games I've ever missed, on something so crazy too. And the hard part is, you know, we were doing some things really well, and it was really, really fun to play in this system. Really fun to play for these coaches and with this team and my teammates. And to not be out there, it broke my heart. You know, you feel like, you know, yes, that they're freak things, but you always feel like, just as a human, man, I let them down. You know, and you never want to let your teammates down and not be out there for them. And so, you know, that breaks your heart. And our teammates are great about, you know, reminding you there's nothing you can do about injuries and things like that. But you still, just as a competitor, feel bad about it.
Saints quarterback Derek Carr there. And you mentioned the grip being an issue. And you don't think about that, I think, so much when it being your non-throwing hand. But it's still, you know, obviously a key factor in being a quarterback and be able to take the snap. That was my biggest concern.
Yeah.
How is he going to be able to take a snap under center? You have to line up in shotgun the entire time.
And then you still got to catch it.
Right?
But you catch it with two hands. And like, it only takes a couple fumbled snaps to completely change a game too. And then you're talking about, can you go to the ground? Can you protect it? You know, so it's funny because, you know, I think Riz really wanted to allow those guys to work. If they wanted to do the work, he was going to let them do the work. And that's why he didn't shut them down. Right. And did they ever really have a realistic shot of coming back? Maybe Alvin. I think Alvin, if these were meaningful games, I think Alvin probably gets out there in week 18. He could have probably had a limited role. He kind of said that when he was talking to the media of like, you know, I did all this work. I wanted to get back. But then it's like, I'm going to be limited. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. I can get 1,000 yards next year. He's coming back. It's not like he's going anywhere. And I think it is telling of the culture that Riz was able to build that these guys were even willing to do that work. You know, so
yeah, we'll not like call me next year. I'll be back then for training camp.
It's so easy to do that. Like, there's so many. I mean, you look at the Dolphins. Like, it feels like half that roster was like they looked up at the scoreboard. They saw the Broncos were up by three scores. And you're like,
I'm done.
I'm going to bed.
Right.
You know, I'm Tyreek Hill. I want to leave now. I'm out, bruh. I think that's a direct quote from Tyreek Hill. No. So we'll see how it goes. I think the fascinating conversation is like, okay, you know, with Derek's contract, do you want to continue to absorb it, or do you want to start to clean up your cap and go into next season and say, hey, let's see what Spencer has? I think personally, if you are a Spencer Rattler fan, you shouldn't want that. Because, I mean, you'd be throwing him to the wolves, and I don't think he's ready. Now, I think he can develop. I think what you saw of these final two games was a guy who was getting closer, but he's not ready, and he won't be ready in week one of next year. Will he be ready in week one of 2026? I don't know. We'll see. But I think a year of pure backup reps where he's not competing with anyone in camp, he's actually just getting the number two reps, will be valuable for him. But in order for that to happen, you need another quarterback on the roster. And that quarterback is probably going to be the one you're already paying either way. So for me, I think the question is, which end of the cap do you want to clean up? Because I think you have to do something. You have to continue to lean into it. And I look at it and say, I can do one of two things. I can either take the hit on Derek Carr and clean up that, but that will require me to restructure all of the veteran players that I probably don't want to mess with their contracts. I'll have to restructure, most likely. You might be able to figure something out, but most likely you're going to have to restructure Cam Jordan, Demario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, all these deals just to make ends meet with the salary cap.
Yeah.
So the alternative is, okay, I want to do it the opposite way. I'm going to absorb the Derek Carr cap hit this year as much as I can and restructure the rest so that I can clear about half of that $66 million or whatever overage. Is going to be some question what Ryan Ramczyk's contract does to it if he retires and reduces his salary to the minimum or whatever. That's going to be a number that changes a little bit. But I would much rather have a quarterback that drives winning as much as possible, which you watch this team go 5-5 with Derek Carr and 0-7 without him. To sit there and pretend that Derek Carr is what was keeping you from winning is just nonsense. I mean, like, we watched what happened. So what that allows me to do is to not touch the Tyrann Mathieu contract, the Demario Davis contract, the Cam Jordan contract, the Taysom Hill contract, the Alvin Kamara contract, so that I can get into 2026 and be flexible with those guys. And then if I want to move off Derek Carr, I can do that then. And you'll see what happens.
Right.
That's how I would do it. But I know there's a lot of people out there who are just fed up with Derek Carr and are just like, get rid of him at all costs. And, you know, I get it. He's the quarterback. He's the figurehead. You know, people think he has a fake accent. I don't know. There's a lot of criticism.
He wears eyeliner.
Yeah, they think he wears eyeliner. He calls it guyliner. He just has dark eyelashes, I guess. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of reasons that people don't like Derek Carr. Some of them are founded. Most of them are just kind of ridiculous. Like, oh, he won't take a pay cut. Like, I don't know. I also wouldn't take a pay cut. I don't know about you. If I came to you and be like, hey, Steve, I need you to take less money. Well, you're going to be like, yeah, sure. Anything for the team. No. Anyway, so it's an interesting conversation with Derek, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. But to me, it's all going to come down to, what does the next head coach want?
Right.
Because there is no conversation where you can be like, this is the best path until you have that head coach. Because if that head coach wants Derek Carr, Derek Carr's staying. If that head coach says, I don't want Derek Carr, Derek Carr's probably going.
Carr was talking about this and mentioned he's like, he's had positive talks, you know, so far with folks in the front office, with Rizzi. Will he be back next season? He expects to be, but he knows it is a business. Here's what he had to say.
This is a business, you know. When you're going to be 34 and you make a certain amount of money, I'm never surprised by anything. You know, my brother always told me if they got rid of Peyton Manning, they can get rid of you, you know, and that is the truth. And I've always believed that since day one I got in the NFL. And so for me, I'm fully confident, but at the same time, nothing ever surprises you, you know, but I've had great conversations with everybody.
Yeah, so far, so good. What would you expect? Still early on, and you don't even have a head coach in place, so it's hard to even imagine any roster decisions being made immediately right now.
No, and there won't be. There won't be. You have time, and again, it's like this head coach hiring, this process, it's going to determine a lot. What's my out again? And it's going to determine, you know, what your outlook is for next year. It's going to, you know, who are you re-signing? Who are you bringing back? Do you try to go after Chase Young and get him back under contract? Peyton Turner, Tano Passanio, Jawan Johnson, a lot of guys on expiring deals that you have to make a decision on. So
I saw someone on Twitter wasn't happy with our decision on keeping some of those defensive linemen.
Yeah, there's a lot of people upset about a lot of things. I kind of got to just take it with a grain of salt and try not to choke on it.
Thanks for everyone joining me and Jeff and Charlie here on the Saints Hour. We'll be back with more sports talk tomorrow. Coming back right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Have a good night.
Who dat?